because God heals. God brings healing to our, because He is same yesterday, today, and forever, tomorrow as well. And so it is laid on her heart to pray for whoever comes today and just pray for them and give it into God's hand. So as we pray today, just let's pray for that. And feel free during the prayer just to come forward and pray and pray together and ask for God's healing. Pray for those who are not here today and are sick or traveling, that God will give them mercy and be with them as well. And our youth are at the winter retreat this morning at the Camp Maranatha. So pray that God will speak to their hearts and will do the work that needs to be done in their life as well. So keep lifting up our youth as well as they are at the winter retreat. So let's bow our heads today, give thanks to God. It is a great time to just bring our needs. It's a great time to praise His name today for everything that He has done. So, Father in heaven, we come before You this morning. And, oh God, maybe the reality as our human mind works, there are many thoughts running around our brain right now. Some part of our brain is thinking about something which has happened last week, what I have to do after the church. Some of us are thinking about the lunch, simple things like that. Some of us are thinking about so many different things, and so many thoughts are going through our mind today. And today we just want to take this time in the midst of so many crowded thoughts in our mind, oh God, we just want to focus on You and You alone. So we pray today, as we pray together, that we will be able to solely focus on You, oh Father God. We want to hear Your words that are being spoken to us. We want to just commune with You, O God, one-on-one. Though we are together here as a church, but You speak to our heart and our mind today. And so we want to open our mind, our heart to You this morning, that You will speak to us very specifically, O Father, the things that needs to be spoken to us today. That the direction that we need in our life, that You will give us that direction in our life, oh Father God. Father, You will ask us and lay on our heart the things, the actions that we must take in our life, very specifically, oh Father God. And for that reason, we should pay attention to You this morning. So have Your way, oh Father God, in our life this morning, and speak to our heart, oh Father God. Father, there may be things that You will speak to in our life that are very surprising. Sometimes You will speak to us very specifically in our life, which is some of the things which are beyond our capacity to do. And oh Father, it will be sometimes overwhelming in our life. But oh God, we pray to You that we will have a full attention to You, and we will take it in into our life, and we will obey You, oh Father. So today we want to really commit our life to You, surrender our life to You, to listen to You, oh Father God. We see in the Word of God that You have spoken to many people. And oh Father, some of them have argued with You and could not believe what You were speaking to them. For example, Moses. And he did not believe that you were sending him for such a great job of freeing your people from captivity. He did not believe that he's capable of doing that. And oh Father, in our life's context, oh Father, you will speak to certain things in our life which we may not understand or which will be beyond our capacity, oh Father. But give us a heart to listen to you and obey you, oh God. This is our prayer to you this morning. You have brought us unto, given us life and placed us on this earth, oh God, for the purpose. And oh Father, when we listen to you, you reveal that purpose in our life every moment, every day. And help us to listen to that and take the direction as you direct in our life, oh Father God. So have your way, Father God, in our life today. Today we want to pray for many different things that Chip's friend has passed away from this earth. And oh God, we pray for the peace and comfort in his life, oh Father God, today. We also pray for Patty Schultz, and as she's recovering from her surgery, that you will watch over her. There are other people who are seeking the healing for their physical illness, oh God. Nothing is beyond your authority. Nothing is beyond what you are able to do in people's life, in all of our lives, oh God. And we pray for healing touch in people who are seeking that healing touch from you today. Maybe some of them are seeking the healing with their emotions, in the relationships that they have. And there are strained relationships probably somewhere. And oh God, we bring all those and surrender those at your feet, oh Father God, today. That you will do the miracle in those strained relationships. There are certain emotional hurts that are there, oh Father God, in the lives of people. And they have been there for a long time and do not know what to do with those things. And we want to surrender those to you, oh God, today, and ask for healing within our soul, oh God. Sometimes the things are in not our control. And oh God, we want to surrender those things into your hand, oh Father God. So have your way, oh Father, in our lives today. Today we want to pray for our youth as they are at the winter retreat and seeking your face, oh Father God, that the words that have been spoken in those service today, this morning, oh God, will be anointed by you. And that you will speak to the youth, everyone who is there this morning, oh God, that they will draw closer to you and surrender all of their life to you, oh Father God, this morning. This is our prayer to you this morning, oh Father. Thank you, God, for being with us this morning. Your presence is in the midst of us as we worship you, as we seek your face today. And oh God, we expect your blessings upon us. We expect, oh God, that you will speak to your words into the depths of our soul today, oh Father God. You will touch our lives in a very special way, oh Father God. And oh God, we acknowledge your presence in the midst of us. We do not want to gather together here without your presence, oh Father, because we worship you and we need you in our life. And so have your way, oh Father. Move your spirit in the lives of people as we seek you, oh God, today. So we surrender all to you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we continue to worship you through the giving of our tithes and our offering and accept that worship to you, oh Father God. Help us to give you freely obediently, sacrificially, O Father, because that is the right thing to do, because everything that is provided to us, given to us in our life, it is your blessing and it is your grace that you have given all these things into our lives, O Father God. And as a thanksgiving to you, we want to give our tithes and our offerings to you, O God, today. So receive it. Examine our heart, O God, as we give this to you, and accept our worship through giving to you, O Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O God. We praise you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen. And as we worship our God through the giving of our tithes and offering, let's do this joyfully and thankfully, and let's clap as we do that. And I just want to say one more thing. Children are, will be going for children's church, there is a little bit of transition in our children's ministry. We just want to thank you, Mallory Sheets, for, working and giving her time and doing this wonderful job for the children's ministry. There's going to be transition. She's just stepping down for now, and there will be different volunteers who will be doing the children's ministry. And so today Vandana is going to be doing that. So all the kids who are here will go and for the children's church, and there will be we need some volunteers to kind of help with the children's ministry. So next Sunday, we are going to ask whoever has feel like helping out with that ministry. We will have a little bit of small luncheon after the church, right after the baptism. We are going to have a baptism next Sunday and a receiving of members next Sunday also. So if there are people who wants to be a member of the church, just come and speak to me. It's a good to do that. And so people who are listening online too, who are at home, do that and speak to me, and then we will do that next Sunday. So children will go for children's church right now. And let's worship the Lord through the giving of our tithes and offering. Praise God.
With my soul.
Thank you, worship team and Susie, for leading music today, this morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord again, and it's still January, so praise God that none of us have to shovel snow. Otherwise, you know, and I think people are confused. They're still thinking in their mind, oh, there is a 30 inches of snow outside, so let's stay home, you know? So there is a water everywhere, and so let's take it as God gives us, and, you know, praise God for him, for all that he does. Last week, we spoke a little bit and really talked about the importance of reading the Word of God and the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is important to know that God is the most important thing, the guiding light in our life. If we want to, figure out life, we should be spending time in the Word of God. And there are many different ways to kind of do that. Some people like to finish the whole Bible in the 1 year, nothing wrong in that. And if you are that type of a person, you should do that. Some people like to finish reading only Old Testament in the year, do that. New Testament in a year, do that. It is important to kind of read the Word of God because we receive life through the Word of God and the direction through the Word of God. And sometimes you want to just read only one book for the whole year. Just do that. Spend time and reflect upon it and want to kind of study in depth. Absolutely do that, whatever works for you. But spend time in the Word of God every day. And that is what we a little bit talked about, but I want to kind of take it a little further. As we read the Word of God, the fruits should show from our life a little bit. And God expects us to be Christ-like in our life as a people of God, because we belong to Jesus and we are called his people. And as we are called his people, we want to be like him. And as we function in this world, it is important that people should know that we belong to Christ. And how that will happen, and it is important for us to really think about that, and how we behave or how we speak into one another, especially in the times of difficulties and in the pressure and those types of things, is very important. And it is important to build the relationships with people, and not only that, but as a people of God, it is important to invest in the lives of people. That is expected of us as a people of God. If we live our life just by ourselves and not really think about others, we are living a selfish life. We are just living a life that is just limited for ourselves, myself, and those types of things, and that is going to place us in a very negative space in our life, because the selfishness and self-centeredness is not going to take us anywhere as far as our spiritual life is concerned, our emotional life is concerned, and it is going to just kind of clamp us down to a very limited space in our life, and that is the reality of it. And today, I just want to kind of focus on this general idea that it is important for us to be a friend, to invest in the lives of people, other people, as we may spend all this time every day in the Word of God and become expert in knowing what the Word of God really talks about. We can talk to people about, oh, this passage says this, and we are really expert in that. But if we don't translate all that, what we have learned in our life to other people, it is futile. Because our life is enriched for the reason that we touch the lives of other people. You know, Jesus came into this world so that, not for himself, but so that he can save all of us from the bondage. And so he gave himself for us, and as a followers of Christ, we should consider, or we should really seriously think about that. So today, I just want to kind of focus on a man in the New Testament. His name is Barnabas, and learn a few things from Barnabas. And he was an amazing guy, and there are lots of things written about him, and we are going to learn a few things from his life, what he has been, how he lived his life, and what are the kinds of things that we can learn and apply in our life, knowing what he has done in his life. Very fascinating life. So we are going to kind of look at his life. Some of the things that are written in Acts chapter 4, verses 34, and just a couple of verses, it'll kind of give you the glimpse of his life a little bit. And let me read those verses to you. It says this: Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So, you know, when we read this passage, it is Barnabas was, you know, nicknamed as an encourager. And it is amazing to kind of know that what are the kinds of things he did. And we read this, and let me read this. The first thing we kind of see in Barnabas' life is this, that he had sacrifices for others. He loves to sacrifice for others. And let me read that verses again, 36 and 37. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at apostles' feet. You know, this was at least one of the acts of that earned Barnabas his name, encourager, or he wanted to support people. If there were any needs, he wanted to kind of fulfill those needs in the lives of people. And, you know, he learned about the needs of the apostles, that they were in the need, the financial need. And so he goes and sells his property that belonged to him and gave money to the church and gave money to the apostles. And that is kind of just not talking about, hey, I, you know, just the good words, but really putting the teeth to the encouragement. And he did that, and this was a foundational of what it means to be a real friend, a real encourager, investing in the lives of people. A genuine friend helps out even when it comes to a great personal cost in our life. And we got to kind of think about some of this. Now, I'm not saying that all of us probably have some property or the other, and if somebody is in need, we should immediately go sell our property or sell our house and help people. It is just an example that is, you know, Barnabas kind of thought about that. God laid that on his heart to kind of sell his property and give the money. Probably he didn't have liquid cash with him, and so he needed to do that, and God gave him the direction, and he did that, but it was, you know, it costed him. It was a personal cost to him, and he went ahead and did that, and fulfill the needs of people. You know, sacrifices for the others. And that was Barnabas, and he was always there for other people. There are many needs that we see in the lives of people. And many times our response to people, if we see the needs, is, oh, we will just pray for you, and that's where it just kind of stops. Many times we think so many times before helping people that how it's going to affect, and we many times do not want to take risk or have that personal cost in our life to encourage people. There are so many people who are in need, not only the financial need or material need, but many people are looking for the word of encouragement and the friendship and the connection. And we are so self-engrossed in our life that we don't think about people, that we need to reach out to them and do something for them in their life. And that becomes a problem in our life. It is not a Christ-like behavior that is expected of us. And the Barnabas demonstrates that very clearly. And we have talked lots of things about, you know, how do we help people and how do we sacrificially help people. And there are lots of things to be remembered in all these kinds of things. The message at the heart of this is this, that it is not just about giving it to people, but it is about the obedient heart that we should have. In some cases, you will be asked by God not to give things. And that is the best thing you can do, because you do not want to give for encouraging the laziness in the people's lives. And God will give you that discernment where you sacrificially help people and where you hold back, so that you are really helping people by not giving them material things. And in order to kind of know all these things, it is important to spend our time with God and really get that direction from Him in our life. There is another aspect of Barnabas' life, is seek the best in others. And so we have people around us. We have our family, we have our friends, we have our church friends and people around us. And it is important for a moment to kind of sit and think about whom are we investing our time, our efforts, our life. Are we investing in other people's life at all? Or it is all about ourselves? And part of that investment is seeking the best in others. In order to seek best in others, it is important to build the relationships with people. Are we building those relationships with people? Or, you know, the negative part of that is, do we just have our own cliques of people and we feel comfortable in that small group of people, and beyond that, we don't care what happens outside of that circle? And many of us function in that bubble, that we are so comfortable in that bubble that, you know, my family and my two or three friends, and that's about it. And we are just going to function in that bubble, and we are comfortable because we do not want to experience discomfort in our lives, and we just kind of function in that bubble. You know, the problem with that is that God has given us so much in our life. God has given us so much talent. God has given us not only the material resources, but other gifts and talents that God has given us in our life, that we are just locking them up and keeping them for ourselves and functioning in that bubble and not able to kind of bless people beyond our bubble of relationships. And the part of that is there is a big fear that we fear that if I do that, I may feel discomfort. I may feel, you know, awkward in my life, and we do not want to get into that space. You know, there are lots of people who are very intelligent and talk about different things in the leadership, and John Maxwell, one of the great writer and a preacher, talks about this, and he says, if you want to grow in your life, you have to step out of your comfort zone. And how do we step out of your comfort zone? And the first step of stepping out of our comfort zone is exploring other relationships, in the sense, I'm not talking about the marriage relationships. I'm talking about just general friend relationships. Stay faithful to your wife, and wife, stay faithful to your husbands. You know, so don't misunderstand my message here, but relationship in the sense, you know, the friends and the network that we should create in our life, we have to step out of our comfort zone and build those relationships. The moment we step out of our comfort zone, we are going to learn a lot of things in our lives. Because we have been functioning in the bubble for so long, and that's what we know in our life. And, you know, those are the same things we know. The routine is good for us, and we do not want to kind of disrupt our routine because, you know, these are the people. We know how they behave. We know how they function. We know when we talk to them in a certain way, what is, you know, we can predict their response, and we don't have to do much. And our growth is kind of stopped at that level because we are not stepping out of our comfort zone in terms of building the relationship network that is needed to be done. And it just kind of stops us from growth. And because we do not have those relationships outside of our bubble, we do not know how to bring the best out of people when people need our help to kind of, you know, say certain things to them in a positive manner. And, you know, Barnabas kind of given great example of that. When people are in a bad place, people are in a not very good place, how do you bring the best out of them? And here is an example in Acts chapter 9, we meet up with Barnabas again in Acts chapter 9, and this story is written in there. A man named Saul, and you know about Saul, who is Paul, who wrote many letters in the New Testament. And, you know, he was a Christian killer. Literally, he wanted to kill people who believed in Jesus Christ. And he persecuted and went on a mission to kill Christians and persecuted the church, and he was so passionate about that. And all of a sudden he met with God himself. As he was going to go and persecute the church, he met God himself, and it was a revelation. And he said, you know that story. And he came to the Lord, and God spoke to him. And let's pick up this story in chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, what it says. And it talks about this. When he came to Jerusalem, he, in the sense Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Can you imagine that? There is a church and disciples who are working in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, against whom Paul was after to kill them. And now Paul is wanting to join their group. What? And just imagine, you are that group of disciples. And people, a person who is after your life because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, wants to join your small group, what will be your reaction? Hey, just thank you very much. We do not want you in the group. Maybe you have some tricks under your sleeves to kind of fool us, and you're going to kind of come and join and then find a way to kind of arrest us or kill us or things like that. And so he wanted to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Not believing, naturally as a human being, not believing that he really was a disciple at all. They did not believe that his heart was changed. But this is what the Barnabas come in. And Barnabas and Paul, Saul, or then later on called Paul, they met. And Barnabas kind of spoke to him, probably spent time with him. And then Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he says, Paul, just come with me. I know these disciples. I'm one of them. You come with me. And then he told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. And then, you know, he takes him and he introduces him to the group of disciples. Now just imagine, you know, Paul was outsider. He was not within the bubble of people. And he wanted to join and do, because his life was changed and he wanted to do the work of God, and he needed to connect with other disciples and go on a missionary journeys and preach the word of God, and but they were not willing to take him in. And it took Barnabas to kind of take him in, you know, go outside the comfort zone and connect with Paul and see, man, Paul, you were a Christian hater, and you killed Christians, and you persecuted the church, and all that things happened, but now you're a changed man. And now let me understand you, what God has been calling you to do. And Barnabas took that time. He went outside his comfort zone and took that time and connected with Paul, and then that's how he could bring him in into the church or into the group of disciples and told the disciples, no, people, just understand, he's truly changed man. Can you imagine? After that, Paul just went on a missionary journeys and started so many churches and changed the lives of people and wrote the books to the churches, which, you know, many good portion of the New Testament is written by Paul, and some great words of encouragement and the teaching has been given to us through Paul's ministry. Just think for a moment. If Barnabas would have thought about just staying in the bubble and not stepping out of their comfort zone and connecting with somebody who was totally on the other side, totally, you know, persecutor, Christian hater, killer, and not connected with him and really understood his heart and brought the best out of him and connected to the fellowship of disciples, I don't know what would have happened. You know, God can do anything and everything, but God used Barnabas to kind of step out of that comfort zone and connect with Paul and bring him in. You know, there are lots of Pauls outside. You mean, they may look like they are tattooed, or they may look like they are just kind of have their sense of dressing is just doesn't fit our culture, probably, you know, our church culture or whatever it may be. But they may be at the place where they're seeking God and they just need to hear some one sentence from us, and it'll just kind of change the direction of their life, and they will start doing the things that are beyond our imagination. A story was, I just kind of heard this story somewhere. Somebody was telling that, and this evangelist, he was just, you know, normal evangelist, and he dressed like an evangelist and a church guy kind of a thing. And he went, he wanted to go and have a haircut, and his barber shop was a regular, and he had a regular barber that he would go time and time again, the same guy, and he really needed a haircut, and he went, he called him, and he said, "Can you take me in, because I really desperately need haircut. I have to travel somewhere and want to go." And so he says, "Come on in. I can take you at 2:30 this afternoon." So he goes, and as he goes in the hair, hair cutting shop or whatever you call that, and he goes there, and the regular barber is not there. Instead of that, there is this lady who has all tattoos on her body. Her hair are pink, green, all the colored hair, and they were all piercing on her face everywhere. And she says, "Oh, your regular barber, he had an emergency, so he had to go somewhere, and so he asked me to do your hair. Is that okay?" So he looks at her and she says, "Man, I don't know what I'm going to speak to her. She looks like she's from the other planet altogether. I probably would not have anything common to speak to her." And so he thinks about that for a moment, and he says, "Okay, let's do this." And so he sits there, and he says, "Now what do I even talk to her? I have nothing in common to talk to her." So she asks him, "So what do you do?" Oh my goodness, wrong question to ask to an evangelist and a pastor, right? And so he says, "What should I say? What should I do?" So he says, "I'm an evangelist, and I have this office here, evangelism center and all that kind of a thing." So she says, "Oh, yeah, I know that place. I was there last week." And he says, "You were there last week? What in the world, person dressed like you, who probably have nothing to do with God or the gospel or anything, why you found yourself in that evangelism center?" So she says, "My mother is seeking the Lord. And I didn't know," and she has lots of questions about God, "and I'm not equipped to kind of answer all her questions. And so I was wondering if I could have some resources for her from this evangelism center. So I came and find out some of the resources so that I can take those and give it to her so that some of her questions are answered." And so he says, "What? Do you have faith in God?" And she says, "Yes. I follow Jesus Christ. I'm a born again. And because I have started following Jesus, my mother had these questions, and I wanted to give these resources to her. And that is the reason I went." It is so amazing. The way people look from outside, we can always make assumptions about people and want to just kind of close in and not connect with them at all. And we are going to lose a huge opportunity. And many times we keep losing those opportunities in our lives because we look at people, we come to the conclusion, and we just close down. And at the other side, their hearts are crying out. Their minds are crying out that somebody will connect with them, and they will talk to them and connect them with God, and we are not ready to step out of our comfort zone, and they are in their bubble and we are in our bubble, and we lose an opportunity. Friends, God has placed us on the face of this earth to make the difference in the lives of people. The great example Barnabas has given to us a person who hated the church, who became, you know, follower of Christ. And if Barnabas would have not been a bridge builder and would have not, you know, stepped out of the comfort zone and connected and brought him into the fellowship of God, I don't know what it would have been for Paul himself. There are lots of opportunities for us. There are people crying out. Our prayer should be that God lead me to an opportunity where I can connect with people, where I can, you know, build that relationship with them, say the sentence or the word to them. It doesn't need so much to speak, but only little things to kind of talk about and bring the best out of them. Bring the best out of them and give them an opportunity to really flourish in their life as they're seeking you. The world is crying out for a relationship, authentic relationship with God. You know, we can have a spiritual influence on the people around us. and we see Barnabas doing that again. You know, in chapter 11, we can read that, chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. It says this: the news of revival reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived, he saw the evidence of the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. You know, the great revival broke, and they heard about that, and the church decides to send whom? Church decides to send Barnabas to that place. And then he has a spiritual influence over them. He teaches them. He speaks from the word of God to them. He encourages them to kind of stay true to the gospel of Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ all their life. And many people were, you know, grown in the faith. God calls us for that role. Are we, you know, when we look at our life, are we just living our life just for ourselves? What are our activities that we do throughout the day or in a month that have we spoken to somebody who is outside of our bubble, who needs the encouraging words? They're probably crying out to hear the words that follow the word of God. This is the word of God, and you should really read this and really put your faith and be faithful to the word of God. Sometimes people just need to hear that thing. And God has placed us, his people like you and me, in this world everywhere. And all we have to do is step out of that comfort zone. And when we step out of that comfort zone, what happens is we become uncomfortable. And it is okay. But God is with us. He wants us to say those things to people and connect with people and invest in the lives of people. Friends, the world is crying out for knowing true living God. You know, lots of people don't care about Christian religion. The religion itself is not going to save anyone. The religion is not going to, and people are so sick and tired about the religion. But people are seeking an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. And we become his followers, his disciples in this world to kind of connect them to Christ himself. Are we willing to step out of our comfort zone? It is as we read the word of God, as we take it in. You know, J. John, one of my favorite storytellers, he tells the story, and this is kind of, he you know, I can never tell a story like him. You should listen to some of his story. They're all over social media and things like that. And he talks about, you know, the problem with some of us who are churchgoers and who have been Christian for a long time. He says, we want more. We want more of the conferences. We want so much, you know, nothing wrong in spending more and more time with Jesus, but we want to take it in and take it in and take it in and give us more and give us more. And it is all self-centered. And we want to eat all that good spiritual food to ourselves and ourselves and ourselves. And he gives, and sorry, you know, it is a little bit graphic. It is a little bit not very good explanation. But he says, if we eat and eat, and if it doesn't come out from somewhere, we are constipated. I mean, that's the story he says. And he says, most of our Christian people who believe in Jesus, who have been Christian for a long time, we are constipated. We are taking in and taking it and taking it, but we are never stepping out of our comfort zone to give it to somebody. It takes very little to give it to somebody. And that is what the Word of God is telling us. That is the desire for God, you know, God's desire for us, that what all that we have taken in all these years, give a little bit of that, share a little bit of that with others. And that is what God's really want us to do. You know, Romans chapter 9, close with this scripture passage here, Romans chapter 5. Verse 6 to 8 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for ungodly. Christ died for ungodly. People who dress weirdly, people who are tattooed, people who are just, you know, out of sync, whom we don't think that they have even slightest interest in God at all, you'll be surprised how interested they are. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He did that for us. And now we are on the other side. We have been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. We are enjoying our relationship with Jesus. And most of us are enjoying our relationship with Jesus. And we are asking Jesus to give me more, give me more, give me more. I want to hear more. And we are stuffed and we are stuffed. And we are forgetting that there are people outside who are just crying out and very desperate. So let's think, evaluate our life, and ask God to really speak to our heart. As we spend time in the Word, let's step out of the comfort zone and build that connection and say a word or one simple sentence to somebody. You know, last story, I promise, last story. I told you this story at the airport of San Diego in last week of November or first week of December. My son was, and I was sitting at the airport in San Diego airport, and we saw a weirdly dressed guy. And he asked Eli to kind of take a picture, and he would have just taken a picture and given him his phone back. But he says, man, do you know there is God who loves you? That's all he said. And then he says, and then he talked a little bit, and he says, can I pray for you? And that guy just broke out in tears. He says, nobody ever told me, let alone God, nobody told me ever in my life that somebody can love me, that God can love me. I've never heard this in my life. Needed to hear that. There are desperate people everywhere. So let's evaluate our life. Let's not be stuffed, but give it out a little bit. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we praise you. We give you thanks, O God, for your word. And thank you, God, for such a powerful word that you have given to us, that we can read, that we can, you know, we need this every day for our souls, so that you pour your life in our soul, O God. We do not want to be a dead people spiritually. We want to be alive, and it is good thing that we take it in more and more in our life. But, oh Father, help us evaluate our life. We take it in so much. Help us to give it out a little bit to others. Step out of this comfort zone. Become a friends with others. Connect with people, oh God, so that we can make the difference to glorify your name, O Father, that people's lives will be changed forever. If we will not go, if you will not go, who will go? Who will say those things? Maybe not anybody. God has placed you to say certain things at that point in time, in that person's life. Let's take this opportunity and do that. If we will not do that, who will do it? Maybe nobody will do it. So have your way, O Father, in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So we are the vessels, so God gets the glory. It is well.